Okay, call this meeting to order. And we will approve the minutes of August 7th first. And entertain a motion to that.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Well, I want to change the spelling of my name. Okay.
You can do that.
So, how do we do this?
Just tell me the proper way and I'll go and find all of them and I need to change it on all of them.
Okay.
That's how we'll go about that. So, recording sec hub.
Whichever is the easiest.
S-I-E-N-K-I-E-W-I-C-Z.
You got that perfect.
Sorry. Okay.
Close.
It is.
Thereabouts.
It's throughout the whole document.
You have you have no idea what the last 28 or 9 years of my life. I should have cut my main name.
Okay. So we got a, we're okay with that?
With corrections, yes.
Yeah, with corrections.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. All right. The August 21st meeting was canceled. And we have been directed by the select board to investigate creating a subdivision so we can get into the subdivision regulations, I should say. So Logan is going to help us with that. And you're on. Tell us what's going on, what we should be thinking about, whatever you need to think.
Yeah, I guess the first thing I noticed is you guys have a downtown packet. Is that right? Is that what I'm looking at? I guess my just sort of background kind of, so I know what you know, so I'm not saying the same things. Where are you guys at with the downtown designation? Like, have you kind of looked at the packet and gotten a sense of? I just want to know, like, how early in the process
we have been doing. Just starting.
We're just starting. We're going to start in September.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Cool. Our first
I mean, we knew we had to do this, and we knew we had to do the subdivision regulation.
Yep. Yeah, cool. Perfect. I just didn't know if there was. I didn't know if you were like, oh, we had looked through this packet and done this, this, and this, and then I would not want to cover that stuff. Gotcha. Okay.
No, I've looked through it and have a bunch of questions. That's about it.
Yeah. So we can either start with that sort of thing where it's questions you have, or I can start with what I have and then we can get to questions. Or there's no preference.
Go ahead and
I'll just
we'll have a lot more questions afterwards.
Yeah, so
ready. Yeah.
Basically, I have a packet that just kind of covers the different topics. I think I have enough for everybody. And that'll be kind of what guides and, yeah. So I'll just pass that around.
Okay.
And then Jen,
I can handle it, Mr. Reynolds.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
Too many?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's all, this is all one packet. So you'll want all the pages to it. Or, is that
there should be four pages, right?
There should be,
I have four, okay, there's four pages.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I had put the right four pages together. That would be an important part. Yep, okay. If I'm talking about something and you don't have the page, let me know, because I have an extra packet. So essentially there's three tasks, and really we're going to be talking about mainly two of them, which is the downtown designation, the subdivision regulations, and then there's also a neighborhood development area designation I want to talk about. And there's also sort of a order of operations with all of these pieces. And also, just one piece I want to note is kind of like, what is our role? I've met some of you, not all of you, but I'm Logan Solomon. I work at the Rutland Regional Planning Commission, really with town planning, kind of on our broadest scale, town plans, zoning, and kind of what's called like land use and housing, those sorts of topics. So I've met a number of you guys, I've been in a couple meetings, but I know some of you are new. One thing I just kind of want to highlight on this first page is that the downtown designation and the subdivision regulations is kind of first and foremost And then the neighborhood development area designation would come afterwards. And there's specific reasons that I'll get into why that order. The back page of the first page talks about the downtown designation. What you'll see on the top where it says core designations, you'll see there's basically the description from the state of a village center and a downtown. What you're going to see is there's very similar verbiage that's talking about revitalization activities. And really what the difference, and I'm going to say this in a couple of different ways, but really what the difference of a village center and a downtown is what I would call leveling up. So they, in a lot of ways, function similarly. A lot of the requirements and benefits are the same, but the downtown has additional requirements and additional benefits. And so there's trade-offs in that, basically, where you have to have certain things, but if you have those certain things, then you get more benefits. And who gets those benefits? It's specific landowners that have property within the designation, as well as the town itself, and kind of the typically grants relating to that area. You get like priority for state grants, things like that. And there's this application process that the packet you guys have goes into way more detail than anything on this one page. But I also just wanted to highlight on this one page that what we're looking at is this area in orange or yellow. That's the current village center boundary. So I just want everyone to know, like, where exactly are we talking about? Kind of, actually. So one thing I want to note is that the orange is the current village center boundary. That very well might be your downtown village center, just simple copy-paste. You might, depending on the requirements, you might be able to expand it a little bit. And that's something where, if that's something the Planning Commission is interested in, we can kind of help provide guidance on where that might be. But the current village center, turning that into a downtown, it seems like that would meet the requirements. A lot of this is, I'm going to use terms like it seems like some of these things. Part of the thing is that the state has their own process that is really the ultimate authority. So that's why I'm going to say it like that. I also work in zoning and things like that. Some of these things are like, I'm used to this legalese language, so I apologize. So that's the downtown, and I'm going to come back to this downtown designation more. But if there are any specific questions, I think now's a good time.
So this is the current, what we have labeled as downtown right now?
Yeah, the current designation, which is the village center. And that village center, that same land, you could make into a downtown, or you could expand it, I would say marginally, slightly. It's really a question of whether it just meets the state's, it checks off all the boxes for the state. And all the boxes, all that information is going to be in here on what are the requirements. So for example, for a downtown, one of the requirements speaks to eligibility of the National Historic Register historic districts. So if you don't have specific number of historic structures, things like that, land might not be able to qualify. So there's specific boxes you have to be aware of that this packet.
Every building covers. Down there, I swear, it's got to be 200 years old or older.
Right.
So that means.
Yeah. So the existing.
I mean, it's not registered, yeah. But they're
right.
Old
and if they're eligible. Yeah. And if they're it's either they're registered or they're eligible to be registered. So.
I thought we had that discussion once before.
And there's some resources that exists just like that you could find online as well to get a sense of what structures are registered federally or with the state, and then what districts, because specific structures can be historically designated, or an entire area can be historically designated. And I believe there's at least parts of Fairhaven. I know there are definitely historic structures. I also believe there are historic districts in Fairhaven as well. I'm not 100% sure.
I do have
the town plan would tell us.
We have this right here that was given to us discussing about our buildings down there.
That would be my go-to resource. So perfect. Yeah.
I've had one of those for about 30 years.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Right after I moved here, I found that somewhere and I bought it.
Yeah.
On my house.
Yeah, I'm actually hoping to get my own. I have a really beat up copy. I've been thinking about buying a nice, there's a countywide version of that. That's
mine was very thick. Mine was pretty beat up, so I'm glad I got the new
one. Well, this one just says Fairhaven on it, so yeah. I'm not sure. I think Phil gave it to us, didn't you?
I can't recall.
It's
I
a,
really
it's a mean, subset.
I remember when we got it, I was really excited because mine was beat up.
Yeah. So, all right, so we do have something that can help us out to some extent.
Yeah.
I mean, does historic building have anything to do with the age? Is that totally what it is?
I'm not 100% sure, to be honest. I think there are different, I think part of it is that the federal government has their own criteria and the state has their own criteria. And I think the state has more flexibility to some degree and the federal government not so much. So I'm not 100% sure if it's solely age. But I do know often that, you know, older structures more likely to be historically significant. But whether it's 100% or not.
Might be, you know, something to do with what the buildings are made out of.
And what it did.
You know, marble,
right.
Slate.
Yeah.
Yeah, because right here it has Fairhaven Village Historic District.
Yep. Yes.
It has a map.
Yeah. Yep, this looks familiar. Yeah, so that would be, that would be an example of your historic district. And then you see here, that's actually pretty much the village center area. So that's, but then you also, this is kind of where I was getting at, that it might qualify as being historical. So all of those structures labeled, those are historical structures. That's why they label it in here. So
yeah, look
not
at that.
Necessarily I mean, designated.
Is so this is where it gets important to communicate with the state. So if you guys were interested in expanding the boundary, you would want to probably, if that's something you are interested in, thinking about where do we want to expand it in the ideal world, and then working back to see, do those areas actually qualify? And that might be, that would be probably the process I'd recommend is, where, what is, in the ideal scenario, what is our downtown? Is it this boundary we're looking at right here? Is it a little bit bigger? Is it a little bit smaller? And then once you decide what that is, then looking to see, hey, does that area actually qualify looking at this packet? And if the answer is yes, then great. Or if you think it's yes, then great, and then reach out to the state. If not, then revise. But yeah, that's ultimately, the state will have the most guidance on this because they meet with any town that wants to go through this. This is their whole process. But we're here, you know, any questions along the way, by all means, reach out.
Logan, excuse me, Phil Adams, I'm so new to this. Just, are there restrictions on the properties once you do put them in a historic district like we're discussing?
Yeah, so the district itself actually it's essentially an economic development district, but in order to establish that economic development district, there's historical requirements. So there is no, why don't you triple check before I say this? There is no penalties of any kind to any landowner. Yeah, no, there's no restrictions. Okay. There's definitely no restrictions. And that's one thing. So if you actually look at the very back page of this packet that I gave you, the last page, you'll see something like this. It's going to look very different than every other page. It's going to have this weird yellow and red strip on it. Do you have one of those?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure if that was the missing page. You'll see, so this is from the state, and I just highlighted the specific designations. You'll see downtown and village center as one of the columns. And so basically, on one side of this is looking at the designation programs, their requirements, and things like that. And the other side is the benefits. And so this gets you a sense of exactly what are kind of comparing apples to oranges. We currently have this village center. What were the requirements of the village center versus what are the requirements of the downtown? And then the other side, it's what are the requirement or what are the benefits of the village center versus what are the benefits of the downtown? And you know, some of these benefits you might not 100% get. For instance, it might be kind of hard to conceptualize exactly what a 50% technology tax credit is. But these, so like these are the sorts of things that that packet will go.
Is this packet here?
I will send something, because I'm not sure, that might just solely be about the application guidelines, but I will provide more information on exactly what all these benefits are, if that would be helpful. There's guidance from the state, but this is just kind of a simple side-by-side, does it have it or does it not?
So for the benefits, 25% facade improvement tax credit. So if someone wanted to fix up the front of their building, they can get a 25% discount on their taxes, or they can get like a reimbursement, so to speak, kind of like that type of thing.
Yeah, it's like a reimbursement. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and that on the state's end. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then for some of these other funds, there it's an opportunity. Basically, the town is eligible to do certain things. So for example, traffic calming options,
what is that?
That's like the municipality has the option basically to, you get this designation, wonderful. Now we have decided this is our downtown. The municipality now legally has the authority to take specific mechanisms that basically would reduce speed limits, essentially. Doesn't mean, hey, we got this downtown now, automatically they're traffic calming. The town of Fairhaven, by all means, can say, no, we don't want to do traffic calming, or maybe you do, right? So that's like, but it essentially gives you the option to do so. It's the same thing with signage. There's a signage option. I forget exactly what the details are, but I do know broadly it's something that has to do with your authority around specific types of signage and your ability to be involved in that in this specific area. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, now I'm curious, what benefits does that give us right now? The traffic calming options, or even the signage options. Now, like my landlord told me exactly what type of sign I could put on my building. When we get applicants,
it's pretty different types of signs. I think it's more has to do with actually like traffic signage relating to like the state and how you can communicate.
Can we? I mean, if we want to put a traffic sign down there now, this town has a right to do that. So what benefit is that by doing the downtown designation?
That specific benefit, to be honest, I would have to look at the guidance document that specifically outlines all these. I think that's a good example of why I want to give you all the kind of more details of these benefits.
Yeah,
but
it's too
broad. I think on a kind of broader scale, what I wanted to convey is that yes, there are more requirements in the downtown designation, and I'm sure that's something you're going through now and like looking through this, being like, whoa, there's like a whole bunch of requirements. On the flip side, though, I just kind of wanted to speak to that there are a whole array of options. Okay. But you're right. This is a very like few words of what each option is, as opposed to I can supply something that's like, each one of these will have a paragraph or two that's like, what exactly is a 50% technology tax credit?
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Because people are going to ask. Yeah. I mean, and at least I
right.
know a couple exactly. But, okay, that'd be awesome. Thank you, Logan.
No, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up.
Logan, if I might ask, how about our neighboring towns? Castleton and Pulteney, do they have the...
Yeah.
Downtown state designation, do you know? Okay.
So, Castleton does not. Castleton has actually three different village centers, believe it or not. So they different, over by the university, Castleton Corners, and Four Corners? There are a few of these corners and Four Corners.
Right.
So Castleton, no. Pulteney, yes. And if you're, I don't know how familiar you are with Pulteney, but they also have a village center in East Pulteney.
Mm-hmm.
Pulteney does have a downtown. It's Pulteney, Rutland City, which is obviously a very different scale,
right.
And Brandon are the towns in the region. And when looking at the region, I'll speak for Devin as well. I think we see Fairhaven as a ripe opportunity for a downtown designation. Looking at Pulteney and Brandon and other towns in the region, Fairhaven's current village center feels, to me personally, more like a downtown. I actually wanted to double check that I was even... When I first was here, I was like, oh, this is a village center, not a downtown? So just like coming from Pulteney and some other communities is, to me personally, feels like a downtown designation, but that's very like off the cuff. There's no real science behind it.
We have that building.
Yeah.
We have Carl Durf. I mean, it's just all compacted.
Right.
With the park right there. It's a perfect downtown.
Yeah. So,
and Logan, do the other towns all have subdivision regulations, correct? Hubbardston, Castleton, and Pulteney?
Pulteney and Castleton have subdivision and zoning. Hubbardston has neither, I believe. I'm actually not sure. Does Hubbardston have zoning?
I remember doing a subdivision in Hubbardston years ago where you had to go to the planning commission and get approval on it.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I don't know if I
wouldn't know if Hubbardston has or doesn't. I don't know. That's an interesting one.
I believe that's the case. I think everybody surrounding us does have both zoning and subdivision.
Yeah.
Just curious, that's all.
Yeah. I definitely know Castleton and Pulteney does. And those are the most similar in terms of scale and I guess the density, the sort of land use patterns.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a great point. Switching over to subdivision regulations, that's going to be the third page. One thing I want to note is that we've decided at the RRPC, there are a couple municipalities in this situation that are looking for subdivision regulations, so I'm having multiple of these sorts of conversations. We've decided recently to try to provide a model regulation looking at other towns in the region that currently have subdivision regulations and providing a kind of simple model to start with that by all means the Planning Commission can you know, make right for Fairhaven, right? Like each town's going to have their own ways of tweaking it, but just kind of a starting point. So I kind of wanted to just put that out first and foremost. What this one page we're looking at here is just kind of the broadest, most pieces of subdivision regulations as spelled out in state statute. So subdivision regulations really regulate the pattern of development. Another way you can think about this is how land is divided up. So what actually is a subdivision, I think, is a great starting point. Which is, it's really just a division of a lot or a parcel into two or more lots. And state statute spells out that the specific purpose is for sale or development or lease of land. And then basically statute spells out what subdivision regulations have to include, which is the shall contain portion of this. And then there are things that the Fairhaven Planning Commission may or may not want to include. And so that's in that green language. But really on the most kind of basics, broadest of sense, you're really setting out standards for the design and configuration of parcels or lots and public facilities. And just so we're on the same page, public facilities means like a lot of things. So we're also talking about things like roads. So that's where like design of roads. So, you know, if you have a, let me run through all the things and then I'll back up. But, so yeah, it's just the design and layout of all the public facilities, of different lots, and then you have to have some requirements and procedures for how, there's actual an application process, right? So when people are getting a permit, you need to have information, because subdivision regulations, the actual materials you have to provide are a little bit different because we're talking about splitting up lots as opposed to kind of an existing lot. So there's certain things that you would want on an application that would be unique to subdivisions, essentially. And then also there's standards that you have to include relating to natural resource and open space protection. And then there are a lot of things that you may contain, which are these sorts of waivers. So, you know, certain provisions can be waived if basically do you have a development review board or is it a board of
adjustment?
Board of adjustment.
Yep.
If the board of adjustment wants to go and grant these sorts of waivers, they can, but it has to be subject to specific conditions. Basically, you can have review processes that are proceeding, submitting specific materials. You can have specific standards. These are all things you can or cannot do. Like, it's up to you. You can have standards relating to energy conservation or renewable energy if you want, or if you don't want. You can have standards that speak specifically to specific Act 250 criteria. So that's also an aspect, looking at that as guidance. And then you can also approve what's called like quote-unquote minor subdivision. So you would kind of define what that is. So, you know, should the requirements be this? This is a question for the Planning Commission. Should someone that has a lot and they're, you know, it's however big and they're dividing it into 30 lots versus the same lot being divided into two lots, should the process be the same? Or if it's, you know, a way bigger lot. So essentially there are ways to say, hey, this subdivision's quote unquote minor, so the process to getting a permit's gonna be quote unquote minor. And then you set out, you explain exactly what that is. But that's not required, those things. Those are just, you have the authority to include those provisions if you so choose. What I'm gonna focus on is providing a model with this shall contain language, but if there are these things you are interested in, minor subdivisions are pretty common to be, I've seen in subdivision bylaws, because it allows Phil to approve it through administrative approval as opposed to the Board of Adjustment coming together and having to hold a whole, you know, public meeting if it's just a simple, hey, I'm turning a 1 acre lot into a 2 half acre lots or something very simple like that. And it's under specific conditions, right? These are all the things you spell out in the regulations.
Logan, not to interrupt, but
no,
if we go to the Planning Commission, though, in our case with the Board of Adjustment, and a Planning Commission without a Development Review Board would establishing the subdivision regulations, it would be under the purview of the Planning Commission or a group established by the Planning Commission to review the subdivision applications?
So the... Just so I'm clear, you don't have a Development Review Board, so the body that serves those functions is the Board of Adjustment, or is the Planning Commission?
The Planning Commission does the approvals that the Planning Commission will do under our table of uses, and the Board of Adjustment does conditional use approvals.
I see, okay.
And, you know, appeals of something I decide, or something in the flood hazard area.
Yeah.
But the Planning Commission would approve a lot of the commercial changes and things like that. Excuse me, I'm just going to unlock for my coworker. I'll be right back. I'm sorry.
I can wait for him to get back, or?
No.
Okay. I have typically heard of Board of Adjustments or Development Review Boards. Typically, the authority of a typical non-minor subdivision. In most municipalities, I am not sure if that... I don't know if that specifically couldn't be a responsibility of the Planning Commission. That's something I'm not definitively sure on. I typically see it more that the Board of Adjustment or Development Review Board serves those functions, typically, from what I've seen. But I don't know if statute specifically says the Board of Adjustment or Development Review Board has to be that authority. I don't know, but typically what I've seen, it's typically the Development Review Board of Adjustment that serves the non-minor
subdivision applications.
As opposed to the Planning Commission.
We would or do minor?
I have understood it that the zoning administrator, because the minor subdivision, it's written in a way where the zoning administrator can check off boxes and very definitively say, if it can't, then it can't be minor, essentially. That's when you need a municipal body like that. I'm not sure, though, statute specifically says that this is a power of the Development Review Board or Board of Adjustment.
So how do we find out?
I would just look in statute and tell you. Yeah.
My confusion is that I thought that it would be a subset of the Planning Commission that would review some kind of committee that was set up through the Planning Commission that would have to review the subdivision application. Mm-hmm. And I may be wrong. That's what I thought was the case.
Yeah, I've typically understood it as it's a responsibility of the DRB. And to be completely honest with you, I've heard from other towns that subdivision regulations are not used very often. So put another way, that there aren't a lot of people coming asking for a subdivision permit. So I'm working with the town of Brandon on updating their zoning. They're looking at their subdivision regulations, their DRB, that's their authority. They go and talk to the DRB. Some of them have been on the DRB 15, 20 years. They've never used the subdivision regulations at all. Not to say that, you know, someone might not come and all of a sudden they're very important. I also want to, you know, put that preface out there. But there's specific reasons beyond that, specifically relating to Act 250 and other reasons that we'll get into, of why having subdivision bylaws provides a lot of value to the town. But there's also just, regardless of Act 250 or regardless of all these other benefits, regulating the way land is divided up, which is subdivision regulations, ensures that, you know, the traditional land use character and traditional settlement patterns of Fairhaven stays the same. You don't have sprawl and things like that. So there's some very, you know, and just investments in general, because if you don't have that, then you can kind of have this sprawl pattern, and then subsequently you might have infrastructure trying to catch up, and now you have the town trying to do all these things. And so just in and of itself, it also serves value. But there's other reasons specifically relating to new state law that subdivision regulations are especially of value, which actually we can kind of transition to now.
One of the advantages, again, going from a one-acre town concerning Act 250 to a 10-acre town, would that be with subdivision?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That hasn't gone away. That's still the still the case. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So that is, and did he just sound like he was speaking another language? Like, what I figured.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I figured, because I was like, I wouldn't have known. But yeah, no. So that's a great point, though. So essentially, Act 250 divides up towns into what's called 1-acre or 10-acre towns. And what this means is it's kind of a jurisdictional threshold. So if you're in a 1-acre town versus a 10-acre town, there are different thresholds. A 1-acre town's threshold is if development of a certain, basically 1 acre, you have to go through the Act 250 process. That's Fairhaven currently, right? Because you only have zoning and not subdivision regulations. If you have both, that threshold goes to 10 acres because the town is regulating the division of land. So they're regulating these larger scales. So that's the rationale behind it. And so the kind of bigger picture logic of all of this is that by the town of Fairhaven locally regulating the division of land, the state of Vermont is easing off a little bit because there's recognition of, hey, the town of Fairhaven has these regulations established. And so that's the sort of dynamic. One of the reasons if you flip over the subdivision page, we'll talk about this neighborhood designation. The first thing I want to say is that right now Fairhaven doesn't actually qualify for this designation. So probably the rational question is, why are we talking about it? And the reason I bring it up is that in order to have to likely qualify for this designation, Fairhaven needs subdivision regulations. And so that's one of the reasons that you would have this. And essentially the purpose of a neighborhood development area is when you look at this, you'll see there's two images with these little circles around them. The circle on the left side is basically, if Fairhaven keeps the village center and they don't, and you've got subdivision bylaws, you could have this sort of what's called neighborhood development area, roughly a quarter mile radius around the village center. There's some caveats there about specific parcels as it relates to flood risk. So areas of, mapped by the federal government or the state that have high flood risk in their specific models, those areas have to be cut out, essentially. But really, the purpose of this area is to support housing development that's within walking distance of your core designation, of your downtown or your village center. And essentially, the thing I want to kind of highlight is why do this after the subdivision regulations in the downtown is, one, you don't qualify without the subdivision regulations, and two, is if you have a downtown, the area that's actually eligible for this designation doubles in size because of how the program works. Essentially, it's a recognition that since a downtown is a bigger scale of the village center, the neighborhood should be a bigger scale of the center itself. And so what that means is that you would have more area that would be eligible for specific economic development benefits, specifically housing-related benefits. And so if you look at this same page that has these kind of red and yellow strips, you'll also see the neighborhood development area's requirements and benefits. And if we look at the... I just wanted to see if there's anything to say there. Yeah, so if you look at the benefits, you'll see that really the neighborhood development area benefits, when you compare it to the downtown, are pretty much close to the same with a few exceptions. And what this is really saying is that you're designating a neighborhood that also gets these benefits. Some of the benefits that are for the town downtown, but then also benefits specific to housing development because it's a neighborhood. So it's like the designation's primarily, it's really centered around residential development.
So you mean that you can have a stick-built house and then a trailer next door to each other?
Nope. So yeah, the essentially it's, all it's doing is providing economic benefits. So like these same sort of, you know, tax credits or, so your zoning that you still has all still applies. So it all points back to, your zoning still applies through all of this. So that's something that's regulated in zoning.
Okay.
Which we just approved.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, the one standards.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah, duh. I was there.
I remember.
Yeah, so this doesn't change any of local zoning or anything like that. All of that still applies. This offers some specific exemptions in terms of the state permitting, the Act 250 permitting, and it offers some... actually, that's really... No, I take it back. There's an exemption from the land gains tax, which is essentially a tax when there's a change of sale. So if someone went and bought land and then developed it and then sold it, basically they're exempt from that tax. The tax works in specific ways where we shouldn't get into the details of this. But
not yet.
Yeah. But essentially they're exempt from this tax. And then there's also, the state has fees for specific wastewater review, and basically they cap those fees at $50.
Is that because we, by saying we have the capacity and we've already got that written in that we're okay, we don't have to have another review of that?
It's more that the review's happening regardless. What's different is that the cost to the applicant for the review is capped at $50. And so that's really just a cost savings for the developer.
Okay.
And then really the theory of all of this, same thing with some of these Act 250 exemptions and Act 250 reductions, is that Act 250, getting all the paperwork, all of these things, costs money. And so for instance, the 9L criteria, which you wouldn't know what that is, but that has to do with sprawl. And so basically by having a neighborhood development area, you're saying this is our designated area for residential development that's in walking distance. So by definition, it is not sprawl because it is within a quarter mile or half mile radius of downtown. It's walkable because it's the designation, and the designation has all these requirements, and the town of Fairhaven has shown we meet these requirements. So there's all of these sorts of kind of cost savings initially. One thing though I want to note about Now I'm going to switch to this paper. That's Act 250 benefits. Now we've talked about three different pieces, right? We've talked about a downtown designation.
Do we have that?
Is that the paper where? Oh, it's that one in front of you with the red box on the bottom.
Oh, this one?
Yep.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. And so basically we've just talked about subdivision bylaws, downtown designation, and then this neighborhood development area designation. So I just kind of want to speak to like how they all fit together. I know my boss came to talk about Act 250, so I want to kind of talk about each one of these pieces. If you guys just decided, we're just going to add subdivision bylaws, we're going to keep our village center, and we're not going to do this neighborhood thing. That's it. What would end up happening with this new law is that the current village center designation, so that's this area right here, the current, you know, where we are right now, that area plus a 1/4 mile radius around that area, that area for 50 housing units would be exempt of Act 250. So in the short term, that's great. Right now they're not, and that's housing, you know, in this general area. What happens if you got the subdivision bylaws and the downtown designation, but not the neighborhood one we just talked about? So just, you know, turning this and making it into a downtown, and that's it. What would end up happening? And you had subdivision bylaws. That's also a very important piece. Subdivision bylaws are a very, very important piece of this whole conversation we're about to have, which is that basically all housing units in the now the downtown would be exempt. So all housing units, not 50, all. So that's a pretty big jump. If you had the subdivision bylaws and then the downtown designation and the neighborhood designation, then still all housing units in the downtown designation would be exempt, but also all priority housing projects in both designations and a 1/4 mile radius. So way bigger area.
1/4 or 1/2?
1/2.
1/2, yep, thank you. Yep, 1/2, I misspoke. It's easy to mix those up. But logical question, what is a priority housing project? Which is basically mixed income housing. So, you know, kind of, these are all done based off of a percent of area median income. But essentially it's general terms, low income and medium income housing, one structure, mixed different units priced at different price points, or a mixed use development. So housing and a commercial structure mixed together, things like that. Any of those developments would be exempt within both designations and a 1/2 mile radius. But all the things I just talked about, all those benefits, none of those would happen without the subdivision bylaws. Which is why it's in red at the bottom, because that's kind of just speaks to the subdivision bylaws for this new Act 250 law that just passed, or Act 250 revision. Subdivision bylaws are really the linchpin of all of these benefits.
Is all new construction, right? Not existing.
So,
like, our buildings down there have apartments up above.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if my landlord wanted to turn his second and third floor into apartments,
yeah,
is would that be allowed under the, or
yeah, so
that would be part of this?
Yeah, so Act 250 basically defines development, and it defines development as also what you're describing.
Existing as well as new.
Yep, and also Act 250 also regulates subdivisions as well.
Okay.
So it would be the same thing if you had like a single family home and on like a 3-acre lot, and then you're like, well, I'm going to turn it into 6 half-acre lots or whatever. That would also be regulated as well. Okay. Great questions.
For instance, it's not happening, but there was a proposal for mixed development just outside the circle on the other side of Route 4.
Serious.
Yeah. So the north end of Route 4, we're right at the edge of that.
I'm glad you're bringing that up, actually. So that's one thing about this, sort of, and it's something actually Devin had mentioned to me. So the 1/2 mile radius I've gathered talking with the state, and 1/4 mile radius, essentially the idea of a radius, it's a little bit squishy. Where radius is, you know, a radius around a whole circle. And so if part of that radius is not quite a quarter mile and it's a little bit less, another part of the radius could be a little bit more. And I don't totally understand. I've looked across, there's a website you can go to and see all the designations in the state of Vermont. And so I've looked at other towns, you know, different designations, and there's some very clear examples that that has happened. I haven't really found clear guidance of, like, what are the criteria for you to be able to do some of those things. And that's, again, why it's you know, one of those big things about communicating with the state and being like, hey, it would be great if we could do this. And they're like, well, you can, so long as. But I have not found clear guidance of how municipalities do that.
For instance, the half-mile designation, roughly for us right now,
is right.
South and west is probably
right.
in water. We're going to be confined because of the river.
Yeah, and I think that's part of just looking at, that was my hunch when I looked at other municipalities, yeah. is I think that's how they have justified it, is by saying, well, 30% of this area is totally flood prone, so we're carving out 30% of it, and can we add it here, here, and here for these very clear reasons? And, you know, also pointing back to, you know, things like the future land use map and the zoning to say, hey, this area is designated in our zoning or in a future land use as residential or, you know, commercial or, you know, X, Y, and Z. That has been my understanding of how that has happened, but I haven't really understood it. Like, I haven't seen it like a clear box of like, oh, this is how it's done very clearly. And I think the state's approach has been more, we're gonna communicate with you and like have conversations.
Who exactly is that authority?
Yeah, so the tricky thing is that the downtown board used to be the body that went and approved these designations. And so my understanding was they were the ones through the whole process. The downtown board has since been, what's the term? Disbanded? Yeah, disbanded. And there's a land use review board being formed that's going to have a whole bunch of authorities. But I don't know. I know it's people in the state. I don't know exactly who is the right person to talk to. My assumption, I'm going to get you that information. I'm going to get you a clear answer on that. But I have guesses. But I'd like to give you like a firm answer on that.
Yeah, I mean, that proposal that I mentioned is not going to happen by the people that originally wanted to do it. But it was a beautiful idea. It was... It was mixed units. It was low income, single family houses. You know, just a nice development of 50 or 60 units. And I'm not sure exactly how many units, but
yeah.
So it was a beautiful thing, and the land is still there, and the somebody's going to come up with it again. It's just where a new electrical substation is that property above there.
Yep.
So it's good property. It's owned by one of the guys, what's his name there? He was part of the Kingdom Con. So he's not the guy we want to deal with. But anyways, it would be nice to be able to, as you say, squish it out across the road.
Yeah. And I really think
it's a nice trade, yeah. if we can trade those wetlands.
Right.
And a floodplain.
Right.
For something above that isn't there.
Yeah.
That would be sweet.
Yeah, and I think that's and part of the reason why the downtown is so valuable is that by having the downtown, one, you have more benefits in the downtown for landowners in the town. But two, if you're going to get a neighborhood development area, the area that could be eligible doubles. And so you're just, and then that means the areas that are eligible for all these benefits doubles. But it's also, we're not talking about, you know, miles and miles and miles. Of, right. You know.
Well, we haven't got miles anyway.
Yeah, but.
So a couple of questions, or a question.
Yeah.
The first thing we should do, we should be concentrating on, is the downtown.
No, subdivision.
Downtown state. So it's both, I would say, downtown and subdivision. So in the short term, I would focus on the downtown. What I'm going to do is there are a few other municipalities, and I'd like to provide all the municipalities kind of a rough model bylaws, looking at all the other municipalities, subdivisions in the region, to get a sense, kind of more regional compatibility, things like that. But then each municipality is going to go and, you know, tinker things to fit, you know, Fairhaven.
For us, we need to see those subdivision rules to see if there's nothing that's going to be onerous.
Right.
The other question I had is...
And part of the... Just because I want to just, like, kind of put a pin on that, too, which is that part of the reason I originally was going to come here and say, I'm going to send you XYZ town's subdivision regulations to look over. The reason why I haven't done that is I haven't really... It's really hard for me to say what subdivision regulations are good or bad, because many towns, like I brought up, just don't use them often or at all. And it's hard for me to really, without reading the entire thing cover to cover, definitively say this section's good, this section's not so good. And I have no one to talk to because they haven't used the regulations. So I just wanted to put that as a kind of starter point. And I also know the kind of guidance, this is the whole thing with these sort of regulations, is there's critiques of the old guard and the new guard of how to do certain things. Kind of goes back to what you guys previously were talking about, the bylaw modernization effort you guys did of updating the zoning. So there's also things like that, trying to understand, kind of looking at where does the region and a lot of our municipalities want to go. A lot of these towns are very similar to Fairhaven, where there's a clear, you know, village center, and then there's, you know, very clear rural countrysides, and protecting that as well. So I just want to kind of caveat why I'm not being like, here are the models, because that would be, I think, the easier way. But my fear is that you guys would look at it and get very overwhelmed very quickly and have no idea whether this is good, bad, great, or terrible. So I wanted to provide you at least something that I could definitively say this is a clear starting point.
That's fair.
As opposed to being like, giving you something, you spending however long looking at it for me to say, well, not so good.
Logan, are there different levels of subdivision regulations? In other words, some that have pages and pages and pages, and some that are
so that's simpler? Exactly why I'm hesitant to give models, is I've seen subdivision regulations be 40 pages, and I've seen it be 4 pages. So it's like, we're talking about, like, really, really brief, and, like, really, really extensive, and I think there's critiques of both.
Are these things that would be on each on individual town's website?
Yeah, so certain municipalities, and this is what I would recommend you do, certain municipalities have it be a part of your zoning. So it would be just an article of the zoning. The reason why it's beneficial is that if it's one bylaw, so everyone's looking at one document, and it can cross-reference itself, and it's just easier that way.
Some easy, I like that.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's also easier, like, you already have everything relating to all the roles of different people, the application. So a lot of this stuff you can just reference, as opposed to rewriting all of the, you know, kind of setting the stage of the regulations, if you will. Some municipalities don't do that, though. Some municipalities have it as a completely separate document. And so those municipalities are typically easier to find, because you can just type in subdivision regulations. Mm-hmm. But if you guys are really eager to see, like, exactly what they might look like, I could send one. But again, they really, really range. And that's sort of why I was hesitant to send them, because I didn't want to be like, whoa, this is...
Well, if you gave us an overview, or how, you know, however you want to do it, I mean, I don't think anybody's here is looking for a 40-page document.
So one thing I can definitely send you, and it's old, but I don't really think anything with subdivision, like, I read through it today, and I don't think anything has changed. It's just a 3-page guidance document from, I don't even remember what this it was some, I don't know if they dissolved, but it was some state entity or some nonprofit planning entity related to the state of Vermont. They have nice, like a 3-page guidance on subdivision regulations and sort of the things municipalities think about. And so I think that might be a great starting point of kind of dipping your toes, and it talks about the things that you can do or cannot, you know, things you might want to consider, some of the benefits. So like one of the things I didn't talk about at all is that one of the benefits of subdivisions is that you can ensure that you don't get these really wonky looking lots. You can draw a lot in the craziest shape imaginable, and if you don't have subdivision regulations, that's the lot. And some places that, you know, I've seen some lots that are like really, really, really wonky. And in terms of developing,
look around.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, this part of downtown, the concentration.
Right. So that's an aspect of just like, hey, like 90 degree angles, for instance. Like there can be very simple things that might make like, you know, a load of difference, but kind of seem minute at the same time. So it's yeah.
Well, I suspect those are like gerrymandered districts.
Yeah.
Essentially what they are. You know, you're trying to make it fit.
Yeah.
Somehow.
So yeah, I will definitely send that three or four pages.
On the jumping around a little bit.
Yeah, no
on
worries.
The downtown designation, is it necessary, or is it, are we going to have to put together a design review board?
So you have, for the...
We don't have one.
We don't have one.
You don't, do you have a board of adjustment though?
We have a board of adjustment.
Yeah, and so they, when you have conditional use approval, it goes to the board of adjustment.
Correct.
That would be, my understanding is that would be the municipal body. That would be. My understanding is that, I don't really know actually, maybe someone could fill me this in on this one, but I've always understood that the board of adjustment and the development review board are at least the same in my realm. Maybe the Board of Adjustment has more authority or something. Maybe that's the difference, but
well,
I don't know.
Logan, what, you know, my understanding was the Planning Commission, if you have a development review board, does just planning work.
Yeah.
And we have a development review board, anything that used to go to a Planning Commission for approval now goes to that one body, whether it be conditional use or commercial use or whatever. Just goes to that single entity, and the Planning Commission just works on planning documents and updates.
Right.
I mean, if we don't have to reinvent the wheel, why would we?
Exactly.
Yeah. It would just, it would be a board, it'd be the Board of Adjustment for.
I would just like some clarity on that, because I'm not sure whether a separate body has to be put together from the regular Board of Adjustment or the Planning Commission to deal just with subdivisions, how that works. So.
I really think it's just the Board of Adjustment. I have not really...
It kind of makes sense. If the subdivision, I mean, that's a change of use, for lack of a better term. So it would automatically kick over to you guys, to the...
Well, I don't know. See, change of use goes to the Planning Commission right now with things, but the difference with something going to the Zoning Board of Adjustment is there's an automatic public hearing. I don't know if that would be involved with a subdivision.
So that's why the that's why it would be, and that's why the option of a minor subdivision that's where the value of that comes in is, because that's where you could set criteria where then it wouldn't have to go through that process.
Yeah, if someone wanted to straighten a boundary line something minor that really shouldn't need to go through that kind of...
Right.
Like you were saying, splitting a small a small lot into two or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so a lot of municipalities...
So that would be in the, that would be in the subdivision rules?
Yeah, there would be...
definition.
That's one of the things that you... can do if you want to, that a lot of municipalities do, is say, this is what a minor subdivision is, and this is the process that minor subdivisions have to go through, and this is the process that major subdivisions go through. Or I don't know if they actually use that term. I think some towns do. But
Well, then you need to put a definition for minor and major.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Because the public's going to be asking.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So you would have to have that in there, I imagine.
And that's typically first and foremost.
Right.
What is this thing we're talking about?
Exactly.
Yep.
Okay.
So we need from you that basic template, the 3-page template you were talking about. We need to know exactly, or at least as close as you can get, what the Board of Adjustment, how that would work.
Yep.
And we need, after that 3-pager, we probably need something that would be a template for the subdivision rules.
Yeah, so what I can provide in the short term is that 3-pager. The answer on the Zoning Board of Adjustment, the model, the kind of the starting point, I could get in, it's probably going to be a month or two out for that as a starting point. But I think what that means is that that'll allow you to kind of get a sense of what subdivision regs are with this 3-pager and kind of start to get your hands around the downtown designation. And then I can kind of have that, and then maybe you'll have more of a better sense of the downtown designation, and then kind of be able to focus more on one or the other, and have that document.
Devin said there was money to be found that would, my understanding is you guys would administer it kind of like we did with the zoning regs, but it would give us a slice of you anyways.
Yeah. Essentially and I forgot to mention that actually. So essentially the neighborhood designation development area, the state essentially put out a pitch to see if there were municipalities interested in this sort of technical assistance to essentially scope whether the town of Fairhaven could qualify. And so one thing we know is that in order to get this neighborhood designation, not the downtown, the neighborhood, you need the subdivision regulations, as I mentioned. And then also part of this grant would cover identifying if there are any other gaps. So there are other things that have to be considered. Specifically, a lot of it has to relate to what your zoning currently allows. Towns that just went through what you went through, the zoning updating process, are in the best position to meet that checklist, because that checklist kind of is similar to the information that is required in this designation. So there's similar boxes to check. But also part of that work is actually providing a map, like working with you on deciding where should this neighborhood go. But one thing I want to add is we've reached out to the state. We've applied for that money. I'm going to follow up with them shortly, actually. But another thing is that, again, the downtown coming first is important because then the area that's eligible for that designation doubles. Yeah. So again, that goes back to this part of this where I was saying the neighborhood designation second. But there is a caveat there with the grant.
Is there a timeline for to get all this done?
I'm very sorry. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no worries.
It happens.
It'd be whipped later.
So in terms of the Act 250 benefits, that's one way I could phrase the timeline, where the quicker you get stuff done, the quicker the town is eligible for Act 250 benefits. So that's kind of like my broad way of putting it. The timeline, though, the really only clear time element would be that when we get the grant, basically the grant term is 1 year. So we, as the Rutland Regional Planning Commission, have to spend the money assisting you within 1 year. But I don't know when we would get that grant. So I don't know when the grant term starts, which is where gets a little bit squishy, because I had reached out maybe a week or two ago. I haven't heard back. I need to follow up. And I don't know if it's going to be, a handful of, I don't know what the process is where the clock will actually start. But I think you guys are on the right path of, looking at the downtown designation. I would say one big thing is thinking about whether this downtown area or your current Village Center designation, this orange area, is this the right fit of the area that you want to have designated?
I think it looks
without having, it looks like where we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so...
And it naturally, people would say if this was the downtown, this would be the downtown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when you talk to the locals, downtown by Durfee's. Mm. You know,
yeah, we don't say it's the Village Center.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody calls it downtown.
Right.
So yeah. I'm not sure I'd want to see it expanded much more.
Yeah, and there might be a question of, I didn't really see kind of a similar sentiment. I think the question, to rephrase my question, might be, is it exactly right? So is there marginal changes you might want to make for one reason or another?
The only thing is we have the strip development up there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't know if that's a logical extension of downtown. I agree with you, but I just want to
it might be
that out there.
Yeah, I'm more thinking the, like, outer edges of this designation. So, like, why does it stop here versus, like, why isn't this included? You know what I mean? Like, so there are, like, little areas where one thing I can provide you that might be helpful is that your tax assessor, when they go out and they go and assess your properties, they have to do what's called a highest and best use.
Right.
And the reason why they do that is it kind of is part of their formula. So they have to classify properties, and then there's a whole formula of how you classify it, and then once you classify it, then they have a formula for calculating taxes. But the benefit of that is that the tax assessor, like, that's important. So the tax assessor has to follow this very clear formula that basically informs highest and best use, which is a whole specific term, but it's kind of what's physically feasible, what's legally feasible, there's a specific term they use. It kind of considers, like, what's existing going on in the lot. So if you have a bunch of buildings, like, that's a constraint. You can't do certain things. Mm. Tear down all the buildings, that's not very financially feasible. So financial feasibility, but essentially, highest and best use, I can supply you this, and you can kind of see what are all of these parcels abutting the district, so, like, right on the outskirts of this district. So if we extended it a little bit this way or a little bit that way, would that make sense? Like, what's going on in that space?
Well, it looks like where it left off, it starts the residential.
Mm-hmm. Right, you start in most cases. I mean, like, Liberty Street, you might want to kick in as far down to...
Right.
Well, you got that...
Liberty Street cottage.
Yeah. And to be clear, I'm not saying the answer is, like, there needs to be some tweaks. I'm just saying, like, I think the first step is deciding whether there needs to be any tweaks at all, or if it's like, nope, this is perfect. Because once you say this is our boundary, or maybe we're going to include a little bit of this or a little bit of this or whatever, then it's easier to really start going through the process, because then you can go and say to the state, hey, this is what we want to do with our downtown. Does this area make sense? But if you don't have that information, then you're coming to them and they're going to be like, is this the area? And then you're like, well, I'm not really sure. My guidance is, first step is this right? And it seems like the answer is leaning yes, but I guess
Liberty Street goes down to Cottage. Mm-hmm. Now that I look at it.
Well, if you look at the little shaded area, it looks like it stops at where the car lot dealer lives.
Yeah, that's
what it looks like. So like you said, Bob, because it is a business, if you put it just to the end of Liberty.
Cottage, yeah.
It does on one side, on the south side.
Right.
It doesn't on the north side, so it should probably kick back that far.
Yeah, so we could just make those little tweaks.
There's one other question that I don't know if anybody can answer. Phil, you might be the only one that has any.
Sure.
What is it? Between River Street and halfway up the hill, so that's essentially the block, is not designated as downtown. Is that because it's residential?
No, it's still in a commercial, but not in the downtown
Okay.
District.
Okay. Mm.
So, and you've got to understand, we have the Mixed River District.
Right.
Which goes down both Adams Street and River Street,
mm-hmm.
that is supposed to promote a mix of residential or commercial use.
Okay. Mm. All right. So that's not.
You run into the flood hazard area when you reach the bottom of Liberty Street, there going to the west, and before the bridge on River Street, you have the flood hazard area comes across there. But you have from South Main out toward the bridge on River Street, that's all in the Mixed River, as well as going by the post office, etc.
Okay, so that's.
So, I mean, you could expand things.
No, and I'm just. That makes sense because River Street, it's just, it's that one section, and it must be that. It must be the block.
Now, you talking the one right down here by the bridge where the gym is, that one down here? Or you're talking up this way where River Street is, over this section?
This one right here.
Oh, that one right there, okay.
Between there and there.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, right. Yeah, because that's a parcel of land, and there's a brick building that somebody owns, and I think they're using it for storage. And then there's that apartment house on the corner, right?
Right.
So that would encompass all of that. Okay, now I see where you're at.
And actually, River Street 22, I just wonder how much of Steve's property is out of the downtown.
Yeah.
That probably, well, you'd probably want to fill that in. Yeah. But those are minor tweaks.
But that's the sort of thing like that I think it's a good starting point to start to get a sense of, is this the boundary or little tweaks here and there?
Gotcha.
Because that's like, then you can really start going through the process of like, great, we have our boundary, now we can actually start applying. And one thing I will get you an answer for is who is the best person to contact.
Right.
I have a name in my head. I'm just not sure if that's the right person.
Well, we're not ready to do contacts of anybody, but
perfect.
But if we have that, there's just a couple of little things on the downtown. That's simple enough.
Yep. So the next meeting, why don't we spend about 15, 20 minutes just getting our boundaries done.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
get that done, get that sealed, so to speak,
is there a possibility of getting a larger map of that?
Are you thinking about, definitely. I guess the question was, so it could be like, how large are we talking? Are we talking
bigger than this, so old people can look at it.
Yeah.
Because I can't read a lot of this on here, so
full page.
I was ready to go home and get my jewelry.
That's what I was gonna do.
Let's see.
I was trying to fit the downtown information on one page.
For this discussion, it's fine. It's just that we're gonna be.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
100%.
That more.
So I can.
That's so funny.
Yeah. No. The, I guess it's a question of, I can definitely print it. It's just a matter of getting it here.
Well, I'll come get it. I'm in Rutland a lot lately.
Okay.
Me too.
One of us can get it.
I can print something out
ready,
and just email
it
to you.
Let us know and we'll get it.
Because basically, I don't know if you've been to our new office yet.
Yeah.
But, I saw you. but,
where is it?
It's
around the corner.
Yeah.
It's on Evelyn Street.
Oh. By the new ice cream parlor?
We actually have a window to it in one of our conference rooms.
Yes.
We see it.
Have you been in there yet?
I have, and I've seen lines of people. So can confirm it's good.
It's the first I've lived here since 1981, and it's never been anything but a bar. Anything but a bar.
Oh.
It was Town Pump, and then it was Hartley's, and then it was
the
Valley Club when I worked
the
there.
Pump was Tomasso's parents' place.
Oh yeah, I knew that. Yes. Yes. And
So I'll have a printed map, and I can just email you, and it'll be in our lobby. And whenever you're around, you can just snag it, grab it.
Unfortunately, I'm there a lot nowadays.
Oh yeah.
Because I'm running for office.
And
I gotta be in Rutland to campaign. I'd rather dig a ditch.
Stop a record.
Do I get another lawn sign?
Yeah, you want a lawn sign?
I'll take one. You know, yeah.
That I got. Yeah. I'm spending $408 on my campaign.
Oh, wow.
They want me to spend $30,000.
Wow, that's not going to hurt.
The three incumbents.
Which are
Terry Williams, Brian Collimore, and Jackson Weeks. From,
yeah, Brian, he's been there long enough. Get him the hell out of there.
Well, he's got a lot of nice suits. He looks like a mafia freaking Don.
Well, now you're up to Center Street, a whole bunch of us went down to the gorge.
Yes.
We took off our clothes and jumped in.
Imagine that. Those were the days. Anyway, so you've got a lot to do. We've got a lot to do. But we, like you said, we'll spend 15, 20 minutes on that to see. And if you know, the thing that probably we ought to have is an overview timeline, you know, where we're at. Is when you find out what the time frame is, we'll know more. But at least we, like, if we should be spending more time on downtown designation, or...
I would focus on the downtown designation.
Okay.
Other than that three-pager I'm going to send you, I would focus on the downtown designation, because I'll get you that foundation for the subdivision regulations that you can then go and modify as you see fit.
Yep.
Copy and paste.
The
thing about computers.
That's what I know about it.
Yeah.
Same.
So I just want to make sure I got everything that I'm going to get you all, which is I'm going to provide all the details on the benefits of these designations, so that you actually. Yeah, there's actually a few pages of all of them that is already done, so I can just send it so that you can get a sense. And I actually think some of those it'll be online, so some of it actually links to even more information if you're curious, or if the public's curious.
They're gonna know soon.
Yeah, and then I'll get a clear answer on the ZBA or PC and how that fits into the subdivision, like who's like what is the role of different entities. And then who's best to talk to? I think I have an answer to that, but I'll give you a firm answer. I'll send the 3-page subdivision, and then I'll also create and print out the map for you, so you can pick up and then you can draw on the boundaries.
I think this is pretty good.
It is.
Everything else gets out. You get out to residential very quickly beyond this. But there's just a couple plots of land.
Yeah, it'll be a little bit zoomed out, but it won't be. It'll be very clear to see what you're.
Just a little bit bigger than that. That's all I need.
Even twice the size.
Yeah, exactly. Just a little bit bigger, so I can follow the lines.
Are we thinking? Actually, no. I think I already have the answer.
Okay.
I can print this in various sizes, so I didn't know like.
Don't,
how
not,
big
it
you're talking?
No, it
like
it
that is excessive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Just, no, I get what you're talking about.
Yeah. If it has names of streets and we can read it without the magnifying glass.
Yep.
That's
great
play. Yeah. I have 3 magnifying glasses near my chairs.
I
you know what I'm saying? Like I got readers, but they just don't do enough.
I have 2 magnifying glasses in my drawer and a jewelry.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like. I'm sitting here, I'm trying to read this, I'm thinking, well, I think I can
getting
read
old isn't for sissies.
No, it is not. Let me tell you what.
It is not.
It is not.
Tough as nails.
You do.
Okay. So this has been very informative.
It has. Yes.
Thank you, Logan, very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you for putting up with
and
questions.
This is good. I think that in your discussions with people downtown, so there aren't any rumors starting, that we let people know that we're considering this and what, you know, this is a good overview if anybody asks.
It really is.
I can't imagine why anybody would have a problem.
Well,
I can.
I can't imagine why anybody doesn't want a downtown improvement, but we got to that point and we don't have it. So that's just me. Anyway.
Everybody does have a difference of opinion, that's for sure. Yeah. But anyways, we'll take it in stride and do what we can do, and that's all we can do.
Yeah, I think we got this one. Yeah.
We should.
No, we got to talk to you. What are you going to do?
What am I going to do? I have a question to ask.
Thanks, Luke.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, thank you very much, David. And thank you for answering our questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great seeing and meeting all of you.
You as well. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Yeah, you too.
You got to drive back to Burlington? Or?
No, I'm at, I'm in Vergennes now, so actually...
Oh, that's right. I guess you told me.
Oh, right up to
I actually, I actually live on Main Street, so I actually can see a sign that points to Fairhaven. it's a funny, it's a great, you know, like Fairhaven 40 miles this way. And then yeah. I'm pretty sure there's probably one somewhere here that says Vergennes.
Yep, exit two.
What there isn't is a take your life in your hands.
In 22.
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah, so I always think about Fairhaven every so often because it's just like
right there.
So, yeah,
can't help it.
Right in your face, exactly.
Yeah, good seeing y'all.
You as well. Drive safe.
Be safe.
Okay, just actually a couple things. One of them is when we issue our permits for new businesses and things like that that come into Main Street, and we always tell them that, if I remember correctly, excuse me, that a condition of their permit is that parking for employees and owner of the business has to go across to the parking lot, right?
Or out back.
So do I understand that correctly? That's a part of their permit.
Planning Commission to do that.
We've done it on the last couple.
Yeah.
Okay, now with that being said, if we find that these business owners and their employees are not parking across the street, what type of recourse do we have to say, hey, listen, you know, your permit might be in jeopardy. You guys are not doing this for X number of days. This has been going on. Is there someone that can go and talk to them and say, hey, your permit conditions are, what can we do to make this
happen? I've talked with you before about this, that someone has to have a complaint and have some kind of statement that this is going on and that I've documented, you know, someone being there, so some kind of evidence that is happening. So
okay, I'll get you photos tomorrow and a statement tomorrow then, because I want to make a complaint about this. And okay.
I just want to tell you that any zoning complaint, I try and have someone do a written complaint to me,
sure,
so that I can go to an individual and say, listen, I've got a written complaint that I'm investigating, and I have a basis that way to speak with someone.
Sure. And the only reason I really want to do this is I've been watching the select board meetings, and I didn't realize you guys had one last night. I'm so mad because I wanted to go because I got something to say. But anyways, about this, the parking, okay, about changing and permits and charging and what you guys have been discussing in the meetings.
The permit thing.
It was just a discussion.
Yes.
Yeah, it was way blown out. It was, as Mike said, I think I said to you earlier, Mike said, we were spitballing.
Yeah.
We're trying to think of ways to control
parking,
particularly when we're plowing.
Right, right.
So we're thinking maybe the folks in upstairs would park in the very north end of the things. But we're trying to figure out how to organize that.
Right, and that's,
the permits came up.
Right, so that's what I was referring to. I know there's a lot of discussion about parking and things like this. So my point is, to me, the easiest answer in my little pea brain is enforcing the laws that we have.
Yeah, just have to make sure that it is a written condition. If it got left out on one of these, I have nothing to enforce.
Now,
if you discussed in a meeting that they said, oh yeah, we're going to park over there, and you didn't put it in as a condition of your decision.
I think
decision,
we did. On the last,
I agree you did, but I'm
the
just...
The one you're talking about.
On the
about
permit, you mean as a condition?
Yeah.
I almost think we did, but I'm not sure. Do we have permission to look it up?
Yeah.
Oh, it's public records.
Oh, okay. So if I want to check out Goblin Games, their permit and what we issued them.
Sure. You can look at the Planning Commission minutes, and you can look at the permit. If there are conditions in there, I list them in the face zoning permit.
I think that one in particular, you reminded us before
about
we...
It.
Yeah.
And then we added it to the motion.
Well, I just want you to be aware that I, as zoning administrator, can't enforce something that's just generally talked about.
No,
unless you specifically condition that approval with that written
Okay.
April 5th, 2023 is Goblin Games.
Okay, wait, April what?
April 5th, 2023 is Goblin Games. Yeah. If that's who you're looking at.
23 is exactly what I'm going to be looking at because I want to find out about this because Kane, who is one of the employees there and might be buying the business, don't know for sure, that's just kind of a whatever discussion, I guess, but continuously, every single solitary day, and I actually went over and physically told him that he needs to park across the road. And he says, I can't.
Why? Yeah,
he's a tall, strapping young lad that's probably half my age, and I hobble my butt across it every single day. He can hobble his happy little butt across it every day, too. So, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not sure why. I mean, if he's limping in a wheelchair, let's talk about it. But there's nothing I'm seeing that's prohibiting him from walking across that road.
Also, the permits are online, too, that I issue now.
Okay.
I can't tell you how far back I started that a while ago. Well, but you can look for a specific...
Goblin Games wasn't that long ago, so it's
right.
Probably...
Right, no, exactly.
Well, maybe it is, yeah.
And okay. So if you want to look online for that permit and just see if that language is in there, because I do always include any of the Planning Commission or the Zoning Board's conditions in that face permit.
All right, perfect.
So one way or the other, we can figure that out.
Okay, perfect then. And to answer your question, I am going to stay on until March of next year when they do the revotes, or they start voting again. And then I'm not gonna run or ask, I don't want anybody to volunteer me or... But I'm going to just put it out until then. I'm going to stick it out until then.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's see. I think it wasn't long ago. That's it. I'm done.
Well, I'm just, you know, you reach a point where you put all your time and your energy into something, and then all of a sudden it's like, it's not what it was supposed to have been, and it's just like, why am I butting my head when it's, you know what I'm saying? It was just like that. It had been building and building and building and building and building. And I'm like, that's it, I'm done. You know, I have nothing good to say about anything. I got a very, very bad attitude. I am never politically correct. I really kind of tell people the way it is. And sometimes that's not tolerated well. And I get it. In this world today, you have to really be careful. And I don't want to offend anybody.
No,
I don't want lawsuits.
Around me.
Well, I hope not, my friend, because you're my age. If you can't take it, then we got problems.
You got a couple years on you, too.
Not many, but yes, sir, you might.
Wait a
minute. I'm
probably the oldest one in here.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, I am. I'm 74.
Well, you're a young-looking 74, so...
But I'm 74, so I think I'm the oldest one in here.
I'm 61 years young, so...
There you go.
Yeah, but anyway, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay until March, and then they come up again.
69. How old are you?
72.
Okay.
Wow, so we're all young chickens.
You look good for 72.
Yes, you do, Phil. You look very good.
Well preserved.
Yeah. Alcohol. Alcohol.
Well, men age gracefully. It's what it is. Women go to hell.
All right.
I know.
Is that it?
Know tell me about it.
I know.
Is
tell
it?
Me. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
Do it.
I'm getting up. I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Good. We're there.
All right. I guess there was no mail, huh?
Yeah. No mail.
And Mr. Bob, I'll see you about 9 tomorrow morning. Is that too early?
No.
Okay.
Oh,
awesome.
God, I'll be thinking about second breakfast.
Oh, I know, exactly. When you get up at 5:30 in the morning, 9 o'clock is half your day.
Taking these extras, dude.
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 Your day.